25 minutes past seven on Tuesday night's Arena. In 1995, the 21-year-old singer-songwriter Alanis Morissette released Jagged Little Pill. She'd already released two albums, but after being dropped by her label, she decided to follow her gut and make the music she wanted to make, music that involved songs drawn from personal experiences, bad relationships, career problems, jealousy. By November 1995, Jagged Little Pill had sold more than 2 million copies. Clearly, its themes resonated with her newfound audience. Kate Brennan-Harding will be speaking to me shortly about what makes Jagged Little Pill so important. But first, let's hear the debut single from the album, You Ought to Know.
I want you to know that I'm happy for you. I wish nothing but the best for you both. I know the version of me. Is she perverted like me? Would she go down on you in a theater?
I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away. The chorus there of You Ought to Know, track from Jagged Little Pill, 25 years old this year. And Alanis Morissette, it was really the album that launched her into international stardom. Kate Brennan-Harding has been re-listening to the album, and she's with me this evening to talk about it. That was the song, I think, that first caught your attention, You Ought
to Know. Completely, completely. And do you know how hard it was to restrain myself from singing out loud listening to that down the phone? I heard that song first on MTV, and that's how that song kind of came to prominence. It's the one that broke her. She had been going around, you know, her record label had been trying to get her on radio play, and nobody would play her because there was enough women already on radio, which was kind of mad. But K-Rock FM in LA, they put that song on the playlist, and then MTV followed, and then the international release of the album happened. And I was 15, and that song, I didn't actually know what some of the lyrics meant, but I knew I wanted to find out, and I knew I had to know who this woman was. So that song, I think it's a good 8 months after the album was released that I bought the album. And I picked it up. It wasn't going to be something that was completely my cup of tea, because at that stage I'd sort of decided, I like Oasis and I like Britpop, and you know, if not, I like dance music. So this was a kind of different sound for me. And I've talked about this before, where the album Jagged Little Pill, it kind of became something that I grew into, because it's like that I didn't understand some of the themes, but I loved the fact that this woman was singing so powerfully about them. And I didn't relate to some of the songs yet, but the more I listened, the more I just completely identified with it and felt a power from it and a vulnerability with it. And that's exactly what Alanis still does to this day.
That, even that song title, You Ought to Know, it's like, sit down, in her case, I think it's probably, sit down, mister, I want to tell you something here. And you need to hear it. You ought to know the mess you left when you went away. That kind of directness, drawing on personal experience, direct autobiographical material, and and speaking almost aggressively, you could argue, at the person who broke her heart, or to the person that broke her heart. It both opened her up to an audience who said, yeah, I want to say that to somebody, or I want to say something like that to somebody. But it also alienated her from people. Why do you think it caused some people such problems that she was being that direct?
Well, because, you know, a woman speaking their mind, sometimes people have problems with that. Do you know what I mean? I think I remember being on the show recently talking about Fiona Apple doing the same thing. You know, it sort of polarizes people. I think some people feel like they can't relate, and, oh my God, she's just shouting. Whereas actually the majority of people, 33 million to be precise at this time, can relate to her. And regardless of whether you're male or female, we've all experienced that jealousy and that spurned lover kind of, you know, thing that happens. And it's the rage, this visceral thing that comes with it. And it's like, it's not celebrated, that is a powerful way of expressing the hurt when that happens to you, you know?
And I was saying, actually, by the way, the next time you listen to You Ought to Know, which is, I remember from the time, do you know the line, she speaks eloquently? She actually says there, she speaks Gaelic like me. Next time you listen, say that lyric, I guarantee you it fits perfectly.
Forever imprinted in my brain.
But let's talk about, you know, I said in the introduction she was 21. She'd already had two albums.
Yeah.
So who was she at that time, and what musical context was she coming into and was she performing in?
Yeah, so before in Canada, she'd had two albums previously released, and both of those were like dance pop. They were not the sound that she comes out with in Jagged Little Pill. And she had gotten those records, you know, she got that record deal when she was in high school. There was a two record deal, and her publisher didn't get another record label to be interested in publishing basically another third album. But what happened was her publisher thought, you're great, and I'm going to introduce you to this songwriter in LA called Glenn Ballard. So she flew down to LA, she met him. Within an hour, they'd written a song together. That song is called The Bottom Line, and it's featured on, you know, a rework, which was released a few years ago. But within a couple of minutes, they really clicked. And what they decided to do was write the songs together. So what they did was they wrote 20 songs in total. And what they did was they wrote a song a day. So they'd go in and they'd write and record. And Glenn would put guitar and melody down and Alanis would sing. And basically she sang the songs in one or two takes. And that's what you hear on the album. She never redid them. That's what you hear on the album. So, you know, she decided that she was going to be her own voice. She was going to write something that was more in standing with where she was at the time. And also moving out of Canada and down to LA must have been a hugely big, important moment for her to be working with somebody else as well. And he was bringing in, Glenn was bringing in people like Dave Navarro from the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Flea. They actually play on You Ought to Know. They're instrumental in that. So like there's a whole world opened up to her and she's just laying her cards on the table with this new sound. It's also the first album that was released internationally. So it's technically her first album internationally.
Yeah.
Her previous albums are only released domestically in Canada.
And is that of those first two albums, is she recognisable? Is the Alanis Morissette that came in Jagged Little Pill and the later albums, is she recognisable?
Just her vocals, do you know? Mm. They are dance pop, which I suppose, like there's been reworks of her songs done by Freemasons like they did on Uninvited, and Thank You has also been reworked. So you can hear that she does, her vocals lend themselves, like Donna Summer, I suppose, you know, to dance music because of how pure they are. But with expressing herself in Jagged Little Pill and then from, you know, going on to supposed infatuation junkie, she basically found that grunge sound and indie sound was more how she could express herself. So she came into her own.
Yeah. Let's listen to it. Let's go a little bit further down the track listing and a song called Perfect. She's kind of talking here. I heard I was listening to something today. I'll tell you a little bit more about it later. But where she basically says this song is about the plight of the overachiever, which some people might say, oh, get over yourself.
No, I don't think so. I think that's, you know, she's speaking more about being pressurized and having society and parental pressure. And it's the song that actually gave me the key to unlock the rest of the album for me, because I sat there crying listening to this song because I had felt under so much pressure. And this was a person singing about the same feelings I had in my head.
Be a good girl. You gotta try.
Perfect from the album Jagged Little Pill. 25 years old, that album is this year in June. In fact, I think is the specific date of the release. And Kate Brennan Harding is speaking about the album with me this evening.
When you hear that song, like it's well, it also to me now, I hear an inner critic. Do you know? That's how that song relates to me now. So it's kind of like it's grown through the years.
Yeah.
You know?
And the other side of it is, you know, when I asked you the question beforehand about, you know, some people get annoyed about you and might say, oh, well, isn't it very sad for you being perfect? But when you actually listen to that, gone is all the supposed shouting. Gone is the, you know, barking lyrics at you. That's a plaintive plea of, you know, I'm feeling shock and pressure here and it's just not easy.
Exactly. And given the fact that she had signed she'd created two albums while she was in high school. You know, you can see that teenage angst in that. Do you know what I mean? That she's like, she's trying her best to be perfect. I think as well, like the album for me, having had a look back over the last few weeks, which is something that I just put on and I wouldn't think back on and analyze it anymore. But actually going back and analyzing it more now, I think that the album is split into different parts. And like, it opens with All I Really Want, then You Ought to Know, which you played, and then Perfect. And it's like coming out of You Ought to Know, that really, you know, rage filled song, straight into Perfect, where you're suddenly, she's displaying her vulnerabilities and her, you know, anxiety about not getting it right. It's really beautiful because it does bring the listener straight in to like, oh, okay, she's not just rage filled. She's everything. She's expressing everything of who she is.
I was listening, I was telling you, I was listening to her speaking earlier on today. It was on Spotify, in fact. There's this landmark thing. I don't know if you've ever listened to any of them. It's where they basically take a big album and some of the artists are interviewed. And it's Alanis Morissette and Glenn Ballard talking about the specifics of the song. She mentions, you know, they talked about philosophy. They had lunch, talked about philosophy, talked about psychology, then went back into the studio in the afternoon, wrote a song. That was how it worked. But the psychology, I thought, was interesting in all of this, because this is an album that talks about, you know, it's certainly jealousy, mental illness, codependencies, their friendship, self-esteem, infidelity. I was interested in the fact that she isolated out psychology as a major interest of hers.
Yeah, and like she now has her podcast, and she looks, you know, she works with mental health. She is always analysing herself. So I suppose this album is the first draft in that. Do you know what I mean? It's much more personal than what had gone before because they were pop records. So yeah, you can totally find, you know, understand why she has always been delving into psychiatry and psychology, you know.
Let's have a little listen to a part of pop, probably one of the biggest hits from the album, Ironic.
It's like rain.
That's Ironic from Jagged Little Pill, and celebrating the 25th anniversary of the release of that album. With me this evening is Kate Brennan-Harding. Again, a song that landed her in all sorts of troubles, but, you know, she talks about she was having fun, she was having wordplay in the lyrics of that song.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I suppose as well with age, I can be more laughing and joking and, you know, free around this song. Like I'll just like be straight up, like, I love this album. But back when that song was a single, it was overplayed and I was driven demented by it. And then came the part which happens a lot of musicians where people think, oh, suddenly they drop it. It's uncool to like Alanis. But it's certainly cool again to like her. And that song, it may not be ironic, but it's fun. And again, like Glenn and her talked about how they wrote that song, where she, again, they used to write every day. They'd go, they had a routine, they'd go to an Italian restaurant and have a nice meal and then talk about what the theme of the song they were going to write was. And she just said, it'd be ironic if a guy won the lotto and then died the next day. And that's where the song came from. And they just are constantly pillared for it. And it's like, it's just fun. It's just fun. And I tell you something, I am bereft because festivals are not happening for me this year. And one of my biggest moments has been Aoife McElwain. She started Sing Along Social and yelling that at the top of my voice with 1,000 other people in a field was one of my favourite moments last year.
Well, let's hope that you get the opportunity to mark the 25th anniversary with the show that Alanis Morissette is planning in October in the Three Arena. Let's hope that it will go ahead. She's hosting a live stream tonight with the cast of the musical based on Jagged Little Pill. And that's all going to raise funds for the Actors Fund. Has the album stood the test of time, Kate?
Absolutely. I think the album is completely one of those that stands out. If it was to be released today, I think it would be just as important as it was back in 1995. I think she has, I think actually it might be received even better this time around because people are not as separated with male and female artists. I mean, there's still a problem of sexism in the industry, but, you know, I think she would be higher, more received and people would be more open to it.
Great. Well, listen, we're going to finish up by listening to Hand in Your Pocket. One Hand in Your Pocket. Brilliant. Isn't that correct? Yeah. And in fact, I think she said in that thing I was listening to today that this was the first time that she totally wrote the lyrics by herself.
Yes.
Ballard went off and left her by herself and she said, I have some lyrics. So we'll listen to that shortly. But let me just thank you, first of all, Kate Brennan-Harding, for speaking to us. And the live stream with Alanis Morissette is on the Jagged Little Pill YouTube channel. And that's at 1 a.m. this evening if you're if you're a bit of a night owl. Yeah, we'll stay up. Let's finish up with One Hand in Your Pocket.
I'm broke, but I'm happy. I'm poor, but I'm kind. I'm short, but I'm healthy. I'm high, but I'm grounded. I'm sane, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm lost, but I'm hopeful, baby.
Hand in My Pocket from Jagged Little Pill, the album that celebrates its 25th anniversary this year from Alanis Morissette. Jagged Little Pill on Arena. Isn't it iconic?